The gallows were heavy with rebels that spring. So many still dangled at the crossroads that even my beloved nurse, Hepzibah Jones, could not distract me from them all. In the days after our entourage set out for London, leaving our red brick manor tucked behind its moat in Lincolnshire's hills, I saw much, but understood little about the uprising that had gripped the south of England. Sir Thomas Wyatt had attempted to topple Queen Mary from her throne. Jem, the tow-headed stable lad in charge of my pony, told me that father's boyhood friend, the lieutenant at the Tower, had chopped off Wyatt's head, and there still might be a few mad rebels running loose, ready to snatch up red-haired girls. But it would take a desperate rebel indeed to attack a party large as father's. For 10 days, as we travelled along the Great North Road, the grand procession filled the muddy track ahead of me and behind. Banners of red rippled from the staffs in the herald's hand, the Calverley lions warning simple people to clear the way for persons of rank. William Crane, our master of the horse, with his deeply lined face and gentle eyes, directed all from astride his sturdy dapple gelding. I wanted to position my pony beside him. Crane never ran out of animal stories to tell, but my nurse, riding pillion behind Jem, would not hear of it, afraid one of the two-wheeled carts jolting along the road might crush me, despite Crane's efforts at order. 8 wood and iron carts rumbled at various stages along the rutted road, carrying travelling chests and furniture, bedding and clothes. Their most precious cargo, father's instruments for looking at the stars. Mother's maid, Arabella, with her face bonny as a gillyflower, had packed them all in linen and locked them in coffers. That was why we were going to London, to fill up chests with books and scientific equipment for father to take back to Lincolnshire, where we could experiment to our delight. We were bound to stay with the lieutenant of London's Tower while mother refilled her medicine chest and chatted with the lieutenant's wife, whom she knew of old. Most exciting of all, father would spend 3 weeks studying with the most brilliant man we would ever know, Dr. John Dee, whom father had studied with at Cambridge.
"I think I spy a brigand there,"
Jem teased, pointing to a shadow in the trees. But I had been on the road too long now to be fooled by his tricks. What brigand would attack such a procession? Yeoman guards marched at the beginning and end of our caravan. Their halberds bristled, ready to repel any highwayman who might hope to steal rich clothes and jewels. I was glad the guards were near, since father rode far ahead of me in the procession, much preoccupied with my mother, who rode in a chariot pulled by 4 horses. She had felt poorly a good part of the journey, the incessant jostling turning her olive complexion grey, her sharp tongue clamped behind pinched white lips. On the 9th day, we left our horses at the town of Reading, where hostlers from the inn we stayed at promised to bring the beasts into the city. The rest of us finished the last leg of our journey by barge. I collected ever more questions to ask father about the curiosities I spied upon the bustling river highway, filled with those wise or prosperous enough to avoid the crowded city streets. Boats skated like water bugs across the Thames sour-smelling water. Great ocean-going vessels bristled with masts. Richly appointed barges carried important personages to and fro. Wherries ferried simple people about their daily tasks. Even those rare breaks in the crush of humanity on the river banks overwhelmed me, where high stone walls held the city back from the elegant grounds of houses grander than any I had ever seen. Sprawling palaces glittered with windows, and whimsical towers soared up so high that if you climbed to their tops, I imagined you could see all the way to the ocean. Yet the barge we had boarded in Reading could not take us all the way to our destination, father had warned me. Even the Queen herself could not pass London Bridge without disembarking from the royal barge. Travellers had to cross the road leading to London Bridge on foot, then board another vessel to take them farther downriver, switching boats the only safe way to escape the rapids rushing through the great stone arches that held the bridge aloft.